This morning we'd like you to look with us at Isaiah 64, verse 4, where Isaiah declares, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, and neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him." As Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he said, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Now, Paul is making reference to a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. "As it is written," he said. But as Paul quotes what was written, we find that the closest thing to Paul's quotation is this passage in Isaiah. But there are distinctive differences between Paul's statement and the statement here in Isaiah, though there are many similarities. So the differences cause us to believe that Paul must have been what we call free translating. Now, that's something that I often do. People say, "Well, what translation are you using?" And I say, "Well, that was sort of a free translation." That is, you sort of paraphrase it into a modern English, catching the gist and the heart of the truth that is revealed. Sort of a free translation. But the differences need to be noted between what Isaiah said and what Paul said. First of all, Paul says a little bit more than Isaiah said. Paul adds, "Neither has it entered into the heart of man." Isaiah said that we haven't grasped it physically. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. But Paul has said you haven't even imagined it. The things that the Lord has prepared. The word prepared in the Hebrew, the word that's translated prepared from the Hebrew, is a word that could be translated works. That is, man hasn't heard or seen the works that God will do for the person who waits on him. Whereas the word that Paul uses in Greek that is translated prepared is the word prepared. So that Paul says the things that God has prepared. One is talking about the works that God will do. The other is talking about the things that God has prepared for. And Isaiah says, "For those that wait on the Lord," where Paul said, "For those who love God." So those are the differences. Man has not seen. Man's ear has not heard. Man's mind has not conceived. In his imagination, he has not comprehended or thought of the marvelous things that God will work for the person who waits upon God, or the marvelous things that God has prepared for those who love God. Now, as we read Paul's passage out of Corinthians, it is generally assumed that Paul is talking about heaven, where Paul says, "Eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." And I am certain that Paul does have heaven in view when he is saying this. But I think he has much more than heaven in view. I think that we limit the text if we limit it just to heaven. God has prepared wonderful things for us now. and in the past had the people at that time known, it would have just defied their whole imagination. When God gave the promise to Abraham that through his seed all of the nations should be blessed, and Abraham by faith saw that God was going to bring the Messiah from him, he by faith could see it. But at that time, I'm sure that Abraham would have said to those around him, oh, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, you haven't even imagined those glorious things that God has prepared for those who wait on him, those who love him, as he saw the redemption that God would provide for sinful man. Isaiah, the prophet that we are studying presently, the Lord revealed to Isaiah how that he was going to send his son into the world. And Isaiah wrote, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But Isaiah also saw that this son that God was sending was going to be the redeemer of the world. And he said, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And God laid on him the iniquities of us all, and for the transgression of the people was he smitten. And had Isaiah at that time said, for the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of men, those things that God is preparing for those that love him. And so, though it no doubt has its reference to heaven, yet throughout history it hasn't been revealed the marvelous things that God has in store, the work that God will do for that person who puts his trust in God, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. How little the world really understands the peace and the joy and the rest that we have in our relationship in Christ today. The eye of the world just doesn't see it. They just don't know. They just can't comprehend that peace that you feel in your heart, that love that you have in your heart for the Lord and the things of the Lord. In fact, you become sort of an enigma to them. You mean you go to church every Sunday? Well, what do you do? And they just don't understand your love for the Lord and for the things of the Lord. They don't understand the joy that you have in your fellowship with God. That completeness and that satisfaction that comes from those who walk in fellowship with God. The things that God has prepared, they are beyond the physical realm. Man, natural man, cannot see them with his eyes, nor can he hear them with his ears. They're beyond the physical realm. But they're also beyond the realm of imagination. Now, our imagination is a wonderful gift. I think that it's probably exercised more in our earlier years. We see it manifested more in children. Give a little girl a dress, a fancy dress, and suddenly she's a princess. She lives in a big castle surrounded by a moat, and there are beautiful white horses that she rides out into the woods. And you know, the imagination. Give a scarf to a little boy and he becomes a pirate. He's out on the high seas, but he only robs the bad guys, not the good guys. It's sort of a sad day when the realities of life break forth upon us and we go through the transition from imagination to reality and we begin to get cynical. For we realize that life is real and life is earnest and the grave is not its goal. And we lose that imagination, that escape into that imaginary world. And yet it is a part of growing up and a necessary part of growing up, and yet it's sad too. Just because it's necessary doesn't mean it isn't sad. The first Christmases where you realize that Santa Claus isn't real. The first Christmas when you get clothes for Christmas instead of toys. Oh. Years ago, shortly after Kay and I had set the date for our wedding, we were together and we were talking, and I said, "Well, honey, there's something that I feel I must share with you before we go any further in our plans to get married, because it may affect our future tremendously, and I think that you should know before we go any further." I said, "I do love you very much, and that's what makes it so hard for me to tell you this, because I don't want it to affect our relationship at all." And when I first realized this, it came as a real blow to me, and it almost destroyed me, and I've had to fight my way through it, but I hope that you'll be understanding towards me, and I hope that you'll still love me after I tell you these things." And her eyes were getting bigger, and I kept going on until finally she said, "What is it? Tell me, what is it?" And I said, "Honey, I found out there is no Santa Claus." She could have killed me. She went on and married me anyhow, but it is sort of a sad day when we lose that capacity of imagination. And yet, when we talk about the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, it defies even the imagination of the natural man. But Paul the Apostle goes on to say, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." There are things that can only be understood in the spiritual realm. And that is why the natural man cannot understand them, neither can he know them. Paul said, "For the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he which is spiritual understands these things, though he is not understood." And it is in that context that Paul said, "For the eye hath not seen, and the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." And so the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, the complete blotting out of our past transgressions. The natural man hasn't seen this. He hasn't heard it. Somehow it hasn't penetrated. He can't imagine what it is to be freed from guilt and the consciousness of the guilt of sin. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, and thus we know that peace and that freedom from guilt that have been provided for us through Jesus Christ. It's impossible for the world to know the peace that you have. The Bible speaks of it as a peace that passes human understanding. Thus, the human mind, natural mind, just can't understand it. How can you be so peaceful when the world around you is in such great turmoil? How can you be so peaceful when you've lost your job? When you don't have money to pay the rent? How can you be so peaceful? The world doesn't understand that kind of peace. They think that you don't know what's going on. They think that you've flipped. Are you sure you understand what's happening to you? Yeah. That the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of the natural man the things that God has for those who will put their trust in him, those who will wait upon him, those who love him. It's impossible for them to know the depth of God's love. Paul was praying for the Ephesians, and what he prayed was that they might have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that they might know. That they might know the hope of their calling. That they might know the exceeding richness of the inheritance of God in Christ Jesus. That is, that they might know how much God treasured them. You just can't realize how much God values you and how much God treasures you. The Spirit has revealed to us that we are His treasure, His peculiar treasure, but you just can't understand just how much God does treasure you. How much God does love you, the value that God places on you. Paul prays that you might have a spiritual revelation that you can know these things. And then when he prayed for the Ephesians the second time, he prayed that they might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the depth and the breadth and the height, and to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that is human knowledge. The human mind cannot imagine the depth of God's love, but God has revealed it to you by His Spirit. Now, Isaiah said the works of God, man hasn't really seen or heard. The works of God for him that waits for him. God will work for you and on your behalf if you will just wait on God. The promises of God are certain and are sure. But many times we must wait for the fulfillment of those promises. And that's where the rub comes in. It's awfully hard to wait on God. I find that one of the most difficult things in my Christian experience is to wait on God. I like to be active. I like to be doing. My wife is more the contemplative sort. She likes to talk about things. I like to do things. But a part of the adjustment in marriage, we'll come in and she'll say, sit down for a minute, I want to talk to you. And I'll sit down for a minute. But after a minute, I start getting fidgety. I think of the things that need to be done. And after we've been talking for a half hour or so, I'll start to look at my watch and all. And she'll say, there you go again, you know. I said, well, yes, I have a hard time just sitting. And thus I have a hard time just waiting on God. But it comforts me to know that the man that the Bible always points out as the man of faith, he is always used as the classic example of a man who believed God, was Abraham. And it comforts me to know that Abraham also had difficulty waiting on God. God had promised Abraham a son. He waited for a long time, but he finally decided, well, we better do something about it ourselves. And he went into action to help God fulfill his plan. It was with disastrous consequences, as it often is, but nonetheless, doing something. But when the promise was fulfilled by God, there was always then the division between that which was the energy of the flesh and the work of the flesh and that which was the result of the promises of God. In our lives, we all often are trying to set God on our time schedules, and we say, okay, God, you've got until 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And if you don't come through by 5 o'clock, then I'll have to take over and do something about it, you know. Waiting on God. Isaiah says, your eye hasn't seen, a man's ear hasn't heard the things that God will work for those who will just wait on him. But waiting on the Lord takes faith. And it is in waiting on the Lord that our faith is so often tested. For those that wait on him, Paul says, for those that love him. Now, how many times we try to plan special surprises for those that we love? You know, we get sort of impractical when it comes to love, don't we? We sometimes buy things that we really can't afford because we want to just show our love, our willingness to sacrifice so that the one that we love can have that special, extravagant thing that they've been desiring for so long, and so we try to sort of make a surprise out of it. We're planning to get it. We've made arrangements now, and we've gone through all of that, and we're planning on their birthday to give them this special surprise, something they've been wanting for a long time. But then surprises are awfully hard to keep. And we start giving little hints, you know. Oh, you're going to be awfully excited next week. And when you see, you know, oh, you know. And we start giving those little subtle type of hints that there's something really special coming. It's a real problem living with a prophetess. Can't surprise my wife. She's been asking for a cellular phone for a long time in her car. Being in the public eye as we are, you know, there are crazies out there, and we get death threats all the time. And so she felt that, you know, in case something came up, it would always be handy. She has more fears, and it feels that it'd just be handy to have, if someone was following her or something, that she could have a phone in the car. And she's been after me for a long time. Well, her birthday was coming up this past week, and so we made arrangements to have a cellular phone put in her car. And so for her birthday, we took all the grandkids to Knott's Berry Farm, and we spent the day out there. And while we were there, I had taken her car and had them put the cellular phone in on her birthday. So on her way home, I said, well, let's go by the Word for Today. That's where they did the work. And And she didn't know, but her car was parked there. But she said, oh, I'm tired. I want to go home. And so I said, well, I want to go by word. No, I'm too tired to go by word for today, you know. Let's just take me home. So I said, well, I've got something special there. I said, did you get a cellular phone put in my car? So, with her imagination, she does know. But you know, God's prepared some wonderful things for us, and the Spirit sort of reveals them, gives us little inklings, gives us indications. Paul the Apostle was taken up into heaven by the Spirit. He was given a little kind of a preview. And when he wrote about it, he said, I heard things that were so glorious, it would be a crime to try to describe them in human language. Paul didn't even try to describe them. For you see, the ear hath not heard. We don't have language. We don't have words that can express these things. They're beyond the expression of human language. The human eye, it's not the realm of the physical. Beyond the realm of the physical. Beyond what the eye has seen. Beyond what the ear has heard. Beyond which a person can even imagine. It takes really the revelation of God's Spirit unto our hearts as God reveals to us by His Spirit those things that He has prepared for those who love Him and put their trust in Him. As we sang, the half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore, for there He'll become still sweeter than He ever was before. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You can't even imagine the things that God has in store for you that love Him. We've got little insights here and there by the Spirit, but it's so far beyond anything God's plan and God's purpose for your future. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for that great love. We thank You, Father, for what You have in store for Your children. Lord, that glorious, glorious heaven, the New Jerusalem. And Lord, we just wait in hope, trusting in You, for You to complete Your work, and for You, Lord, to have fully prepared for us those things that You desire to lavish upon us because of Your love in and through Christ Jesus. Keep our hearts ever waiting, ever trusting, ever loving. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The Spirit revealed to John the beautiful city of heaven with its walls of precious stones, gates of pearl, and the streets of gold, a place where God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, For they will neither sorrow any more nor suffer any more. There will be no more pain. The former things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Defies the imagination. I suppose, on the other hand, you could also say, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those that hate him. And you're on one of two sides, either loving God or hating God. There are many people that hate God. They hated Jesus so much they killed him. And there are people today that have that same kind of animosity and hatred towards the Lord. But Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. I'm so glad that I've put my trust in him, and he has put his love in my heart. And I'm among those that love the Lord, among those that are waiting for the fulfillment of his promises. You can be too. You should be. And I'm so thankful that the majority of you are. But for that minority who yet do not know, who yet have not received the revelation of God's Spirit, and you don't know the peace of Christ that passes understanding, you don't know the love of God just consuming your soul, I would encourage you to open up your heart to the Spirit and allow him to begin to reveal to you those things that God desires to do for you, the work that God wants to do in your life of washing and cleansing you from your sin and of conforming you into the image of his Son. It all starts by asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and to take over. You can do that this morning. You can go back to the prayer room as soon as we're dismissed, and the elders of the church, the counselors will be back there to pray with you. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. And may you continue to grow in his love and in your walk and in your relationship with him.